because that's certainly starting to exercise the mind now of people who are in this space. Last year, I was lucky enough to be able to attend AWE, which is Augmented World Expo. It's the world's largest augmented reality conference that takes place in San Francisco. It's on again in a couple of weeks' time, and I'll be going back again. I fell in love with the area of augmented reality at that conference. But what struck me as interesting at the conference was how little time was devoted to the commercial side of augmented reality. In fact, in a three-day conference, there was precisely 1.5 hours devoted to the marketing opportunities presented by the technology. And that set me thinking, well, who else is writing about this? Who's researching this area? And I found that really nobody was. And that was the catalyst for me to put together a conference, which James was at in Dublin just over a month ago, called the European Augmented Reality Marketing Conference, where we brought together brands, marketeers, and the technology companies who are driving augmented reality to discuss and share some case studies in terms of how it works from a commercial perspective, albeit that the technology in an applied context in business is still relatively new. So, defining augmented reality, I was at James' presentation just before this one here. But I think the way in which we define it is obviously something of a fluid thing, but it's generally accepted to be a live, direct, or indirect view of a physical real-world environment whose elements are augmented, hence the name, or supplemented by sensory input such as sound, video, graphics, or GPS data. And a lot of the focus on what I've heard today, particularly centering on things like 3D modeling being integrated into the augmented reality space, a lot of interest in how that can be achieved. Again, I'm grateful for James for setting the framework for this. Some of you at his presentation will have just heard him discuss Gartner's hype cycle, but perhaps some of you who weren't may not be familiar with this model, which essentially looks at how technologies are adopted over a period of time. And the research that was conducted by Gartner, which is an IT consultancy, says that technologies move through various phases of acceptance. The start phase there, as you say, is an innovation trigger. They move towards periods, peaks of inflated expectations. This one dates from 2013 July. It's the last time they did this major analysis. And you can see there that augmented reality sits firmly on the downward curve of the trough of disillusionment. And that was certainly a theme that was very dominant in the conference that I was involved in, namely a lot of people saying, isn't this just a lot of gimmickry, a lot of brands having experiences with the technology that didn't necessarily set the world on fire. So it's a classic example today of a technology that probably sits very soundly in this area of the trough of disillusionment, whereas other technologies as they evolve are becoming more accepted. So you get this concept of the slope of enlightenment for mobile advertising. If you just look at the metrics on that today, the growth in mobile advertising is absolutely enormous. But there was a time, not that long ago, when people doubted whether the advertising industry had much to gain from a mobile environment because the screens were too picky and small and nobody would advertise. Not anymore. Nobody thinks that now. And then you move into the plateau of productivity like web analytics, email marketing, which to a marketer are the staples now of how people conduct their marketing activity. One of the speakers at the conference that I hosted was a chap called Dave Lorenzini. He's the founder of a company called The Glass Foundry, arguably the foremost visionary in the area of wearables in the United States. And he said at the conference that transformative technology often arrives masked by how it looks or feels today. In other words, we very often don't have the capacity to envision how technologies will evolve. So, you know, we all remember the sort of clunky brick that was the mobile phone, and people at the time would have dismissed it. I was lecturing to a group of students just a few weeks ago, talking to them about Google Glass, and three or four of them were absolutely adamant that no way in a million years will I wear that stuff. That just looks nerdy. That will never catch off. They were absolutely adamant. And I said, well, you know, what about the mobile phone in the past? People thought about that. They still couldn't be convinced by me. Could not be convinced by me that wearable devices are something that they themselves would probably be using in just a few years. So we very often lack the ability to project ourselves in terms of timelines. And in fact, the timelines that you see on the graph there, the Gartner cycle, one of the things that strikes me about augmented reality particularly is that we're already at a stage where a lot of futurologists said we would be in 2020, for example. One of the keynotes at the conference last year said he thinks the technology is 5 or 6 years ahead of where he envisaged it could be in terms of the the rate of technological development. Tommy Ahonen is one of the gurus of the mobile environment, and mobile is a big driver of a lot of these technologies, as you'll have heard today. He actually, quite in celebrated fashion, a year ago at the conference in San Francisco, said that augmented reality is now what we would call the eighth mass medium. The preceding one started back in the 1500s, a printing press heralded the first mass medium, the most recent one being mobile in the 2000s. But now we're entering the era of augmented reality as a mass medium. And being a marketing person, that's what fascinates me about it, is the extent to which this is a channel by which commercial messages, for example, can be communicated to an audience for commercial gain. What's the scale of this? Well, there's various reports, but not that many of them, it has to be said, in terms of how augmented reality is likely to pan out. One survey that was done earlier this year by Meta FM said that it's estimated by 2020 a billion users of augmented reality will be there worldwide, a billion. That figure is probably conservative because of the real uncertainty of the extent to which wearable devices adoption will happen worldwide, predominantly based on a model that centers on smartphones as the primary way in which people will have AR experiences. And that, of course, translates to a lot of money. 5.2 billion estimated by just a couple of years from now, with compound annual growth rates of nearly 100%. So this is a part of the technology space that is moving like the proverbial train, and that in turn is leading to a lot of interest by big players. You're probably aware of some of them yourselves, like Intel, Sony, for example, Epson and the wearables devices, to name just a few that have really got into the space, and to a degree, Facebook as well, with Oculus, which is, strictly speaking, virtual reality, but I think that the overlap between the two technologies is quite interesting to watch. So what's driving the growth of augmented reality? Well, the first thing to remember about the growth drivers are when the technology becomes part of popular culture, that tends to be a huge kick up the proverbial for its rate of adoption. This is a slide, still from Jimmy Fallon, who took over there a year ago, of the most popular TV program in the United States, namely The Saturday Night Show. And this was his Christmas special, where he was with Ice-T, I think is the name of the rapper that he was interacting with, kicking around these little cute little figurines on Sony PlayStation 4. You may have seen the equivalent with Ryan Tuberty on Ireland's Late Late Toy Show. He was doing exactly the same process. Did anyone see that? So you're talking about programs that reach millions of people where the presenter is seen to be in total rapture with the experience. So certainly drivers like popular culture, TV programs will be one factor that's leading to widespread adoption, people saying, I've got to get a piece of that. TV itself, the television industry, has been one of the first to use augmented reality in a very systematic way to drive revenue. We're all familiar with things like the Olympics, where AR is used to tell you where what lane the swimmers are in. It had a huge impact on around-the-world sailing championships, for example, where we all know the experience when you're looking at people going across the horizon. You've no idea what ship is being represented, how far ahead they are, etc. AR, using helicopters, transformed that. People could actually watch sailing races and understand what was taking place because of AR being overlaid on the space. Tourism is a huge opportunity for augmented reality. It's my own personal research area as head of the Department of Tourism and DIT. That's where I'm actually doing some active research. We have a project underway at the moment with Manchester Metropolitan University and Dublin City Council and the DIT, which we call Dublin AR, which is using prototype AR experiences around one or two of the heritage trails in Dublin. We started off with the GPO in Dublin, the General Post Office, where some of the imagery inside the General Post Office is now brought to life in a very, very simple way, using, for example, video and audio links. But the research that we've done, which has been done by a PhD student from Manchester with real tourists, 150 tourists, is that they really valued the experience. They found that it really added to their understanding of the museum as they went around it, etc. So we'll be continuing on looking at lots of opportunities in that space, particularly interpreting heritage in an urban context. And there are so many other ways in which tourism can evolve as well. Some of you may have seen just in the last 2 days that Google acquired a company called WordLens, which is a very interesting acquisition. WordLens created an app which can run on smartphones, but it also a Google Glass derivative, which automatically translates text, including Chinese characters, back into native languages, one of about 10. So if you're a Chinese tourist going around Dublin City wearing Google Glass with this app or a mobile phone, everything that you see in the English language is translated in your field of vision automatically into Chinese, so you can read and understand everything in the environment. So you can imagine the opportunities that there are there from a tourism perspective. Catalog marketing is a huge business, whether we're thinking about companies like Argos and IKEA. IKEA are probably one of the trailblazers in this area, who've actually put aside very significant marketing budget to augment what they currently do, which is produce a catalog that's distributed to millions of people. Last year, their catalog was AR enabled in a very simple way. What that meant was that people could go onto selected pages on the catalogue and scan their mobile phone over the pages, and the pages came to life in three-dimensional versions of the pieces of furniture that they were looking at. This year, they've gone one step further by using the AR app in a way that actually allows you to place the items of furniture in your own home and walk around them and scale them in your own living room. So really adding a lot of utility and function to consumers. I have a short video which I think will probably explain this better. And also can be used to drive them to action. In other words, it's possible from that video doesn't fully show it to actually click another button and purchase the product there and then. And the other dimension that's really fascinating is the shareability dimension, i.e. the extent to which you can actually share this with other people who may not be there in that space with you at the time, friends, relations, somebody who's traveling overseas, say, does this look well in this particular space, etc. That's obviously something that's becoming very relevant in the fashion area as well, fashion retailing. But it's a very interesting example of how it can be used in that context. Publishing was one of the earlier areas that augmented reality was used. Companies like Blipper, which is a UK-based company, Layer out of the Netherlands, signed up early deals with publishers such as newspapers to allow them to sell on to clients who are thinking of advertising, advertisements that effectively came to life. Fairly mundane, simple type of experiences, to be honest, and ones that achieve varying levels of success. Today, though, it's becoming more sophisticated, and I'll give you some examples in a moment. The automated industry is a fascinating one, too. It was alluded to in a couple of presentations, but certainly the opportunity to add to people's field of vision, for example. This is one that was an app that's pre-installed on the latest versions of Land Rover, which actually, it's not really so clear from the slide, but what that actually does is that's the bonnet of the Land Rover, but you can kind of see through the bonnet. The reason is that there's a camera mounted in the front of the Land Rover, so it allows you to see what's in front of you. That's quite helpful for rough terrain vehicles, so you can actually see potholes, etc., which otherwise you mightn't necessarily see in your field of vision. So it's overlaying, projecting onto the glass of the Land Rover, the image. Okay. Honda, at the conference I was at last year, have an even better example where you can drive around certain cities and the information is displayed in your field of vision. Some of my students said, wouldn't that be terribly distracting? My response to that would be, is it any more distracting than trying to look at a sat nav that's about 3 inches high, you know, in diameter? This is actually what hearing in your normal field of vision as you're driving along. So this technology already exists. The area which is my own background is fast-moving consumer goods. The ability to actually make products come alive on the shelves is a fascinating opportunity for marketers, both in terms of creating information portals so people can get, for example, if they're celiacs, as they're walking down an aisle, every single product that's suitable for celiac appears in their field of vision. If they're wearing a wearable device or if they have a phone, it appears in the field of vision for the phone. It can also alert them though to special offers, for example. A whole range of opportunities, as well as the more, in inverted commas, gimmickry experiences, which certainly do appeal to certain audiences, most notably children, obviously, where the product or packaging itself has something about it that can come to life. Kellogg's have been doing a lot of this in the US, for example. Fashion retailing is an area to watch very closely in the future. One of the more innovative companies in this space is an Irish company. Some of you may be familiar with them, called Von Bismarck, based in Dublin. They've signed a deal to be one of the preferred developers for Microsoft. They're spending most of their time and investment, they've got a lot of VC investment recently. They're working with Microsoft and a whole host of retailers in the UK now to create virtual wardrobes that people can interact with. They're using, in their most recent iteration, Kinect 2 cameras. I had a chance to have a look at the demo myself a couple of weeks ago. Kinect 2 cameras, incredibly precise, so you can, for example, with just the tiniest tincture movement of your fingers, it will recognize that, and you can select very small, minute items on a product or a service, like, for example, change the color of buttons on a virtual dress, for example, rather than just change the whole dress. You can actually go into that level of precision. So they're using the Kinect 2 camera for that, for example. The industrial AR area is absolutely enormous. And as well as providing opportunities to get commercial messages across, obviously it's of interest to a lot of companies. Daiquiri, which is one of the top players who were in Dublin at the conference I was involved in, that's their main focus, is to develop AR applications. The main betting on this is that the advent of wearable devices will lead to an explosion in augmented reality in industrial contexts. So anything where somebody, for example, is working on a machine, like a mechanic, for example, and they may have to stop working on the machine and go over to consult a manual to see what piece they're working on, or in the construction site, for example. If you can cut out that part of the process, what's sometimes called friction, by having the person wearing a wearable device, which means they don't need to pull out a phone or look at a physical catalog, but as they're watching the engine, for example, they can manipulate and see overlays of what they're looking at. You can see how quickly that adds real value to companies. So a lot of interest in how wearable devices are going to drive augmented reality in an industrial context. Well, a little bit of marketing theory for those of you who aren't classically trained marketers, namely what's called the purchase funnel. And marketers putting together the strategy constantly look at this as the framework for understanding how consumers buy. So consumers start with the process of being broadly aware of a product, and that's why companies need to use mass marketing campaigns, TV, radio, billboards, etc., to get people aware of it. And they gradually progress to a funnel. That funnel typically means that not everybody goes on to purchase the product, but the funnel is one that constantly you're looking at ways of moving people through the funnel. And AR is really a great tool when you try and overlay it against the different objectives. So, for example, if your objective for a new product is awareness, which typically it would be, some people make them aware of our product, AR is very, very good at getting press coverage, social media coverage. It's cool, it's hip, it's sexy. It gets a lot of interest. And if you can do something like that. In terms of interest and consideration, new and exciting forms of engagement like gaming, gamification, polls. The conference that I was at, for example, I like to think it was the first, the actual brochure that the delegates had was AR-enabled, and a poll was run off the brochure. So delegates would scan the brochure, and that would allow them to answer a question in real time in cyberspace. It's a bit gimmicky, admittedly, but it's using the opportunity to get interaction with the audience further developed. So additional content information through text, animation, 3D models, videos. We know that if you can really immerse people in your brand and the brand experience, today, that's where marketing's at. We know that audiences can typically avoid advertising and the traditional media. You do it yourselves. You constantly, you fast forward on your DVR players. So the game, for marketing, to summarize it very, in a very